Who's ready for 2022? Let's get into it. It's the 2021 wrap-up show. Every year I do a wrap-up show. Now, you're hearing this about a week late, all right? My apologies. Running a little behind schedule here at the Wise Hop household. I got a lot of big moves I'm making. I'm making big moves. I've got movie analysis coming out. I'm going to talk to you about Don't Look Up. I'm going to talk to you about The Matrix 4. The steaming pile that is Matrix 4. I'm going to tell you about it. I'm going to do a bonus show on the Animatrix. And then we're done. We're putting The Matrix to bed. I might actually compile it as a book. I don't know yet. We'll see if I have time. I've got... what else do I got on deck for you? Spring Breakers. Brittany Murphy. Juice WRLD. Yeah, I got a lot. I got a lot of things going on right now, okay? But we're not here to talk about those things. We're here to talk about the past. You can't know where you're going if you don't know the past. Today we're going to talk about an Illuminati sacrifice conspiracy theory about Betty White. All the top pop culture from 2021 and, of course, predictions for 2022. So I got to hurry up and get this out, right? 2022 is going to be halfway over by the time I get this out. In fact, I saw something today that really put the fire into me to get this show out. And we'll explain that when we get to the predictions, all right? I saw something that I thought, damn it, this is kind of my prediction. But now that it's technically in the past, well, maybe that cheapens it. And I want you to really think I'm Nostradamus over here, I guess. I don't know what I think I want you to do. But yeah, we're going to talk about all the favorite shows of the year, the guests, big moves, news, pop culture, all that stuff. Without further ado. And then, of course, the grand finale. We're going to talk about the top shows. What was your favorite show? The top listened to show. And I'll tell you what, number one absolutely destroyed 2020's top show. I couldn't believe it. Well, we were putting up Joe Rogan numbers. Just kidding. I'm like 1% of Joe Rogan. Okay, without further ado, let's get into it. The pop culture moments of 2021. Britney's free. Britney is free. So is Bill Cosby. So, you know, the good Lord giveth and the good Lord taketh. Yeah, Britney's free. We've been talking about Britney Spears on this show many times. In fact, a big moment out of 2020 for me was when I went on Tinfoil Hat with a couple other folks, Jay Dyer, Chrissy Mayer, and we did this Britney Spears, and I think Jamie Hanshaw was part of that. I don't want to leave anybody out. And I believe that show blew up on some levels. Could it be we helped free Britney? I don't want to say that. I don't want to break my arm, pat my own back. You know, I interviewed Britney's ex-husband, Jason Alexander, on the show twice last year. Well, I think once in 21, once in 20. Anyway, point is, we all played a part. You did too. I didn't free Britney. We freed Britney, right? We freed Britney. We got this narrative out into the public. It built up momentum. Of course, there's the Free Britney movement that was completely separate, but we added some steam to that, right? We helped push that. So take a minute to congratulate yourself. We freed Britney from the ridiculous conservatorship that she was under. And then she immediately dropped a video saying a bunch of crazy shit. But you know what? It's fine. She's allowed to do that. What did she say on that video? I don't know if you've seen it. She said, "Wow, bitch," or whatever she said. It was wild. It was wild. But you know what? I love it. She's allowed to express whatever crazy ideas she has, whatever thoughts she has. She's allowed to do that without her money-grubbing ass, allegedly, handlers trying to siphon all the money off her, dude. What the hell's wrong with these people? Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, they're free. A joke, of course. Free from the royal family. They want to portray this image. All a bunch of bullshit, right? We know this. They're like, oh, we don't want this. We don't want this fame that the royal crown, the heavy crown, puts upon us. So we're going to immediately flip it into podcasts and shows and interviews and all this crazy shit with Oprah. Okay. You, just leave us alone and let us live our humble little quiet life in Beverly Hills. They're royal family, man. You want to? You talk about something that gets under my skin for no real apparent reason. It's the royal family. Shape-shifting lizard people. That's something that, for a while, I thought was like the fringiest, craziest conspiracy, but I don't know, man. My opinion's changing on it. I feel like maybe that's real talk. Could be. R. Kelly's in prison. We always joke about him making people shit in the buckets. Well, now he's in prison for being, you know, apparently a pretty rotten human being. John McAfee's dead. All the conspiracy truthers said, oh, that's the dead man switch coming. He programmed a dead man switch. He did not. No dead man switch. Travis Scott killed a bunch of kids to Satan. And the news said, oh, Satan is fake news. I bet the news is really torn on Travis Scott because they love a good cancel culture thing. But it's funny how when it becomes a discussion about satanic imagery, then all of a sudden we're not cancel culture. Then we're, no, faking Satan is fake news. Oh, you know, the news has this real bad tell. I'm feeling very, like I said on my Twitter the other day, or was it Instagram? I feel really red pilly lately. For a while there, I was kind of more, you know, I get these mood shifts. Sometimes I'm really like normie sheeple. And I think, man, these truthers are crazy. Calm down. But then other times, man, that red pill hits hard. And it just seems like I'm seeing things clearly. And I'm just like, I get upset. You know? I don't know. Do you get it? That's how we're coming in with this 2022 energy. Red pilling hard, I guess. Jen Shah from Real Housewives of Salt Lake. I don't know if you're watching that. I am. Me and Josie Wise are watching it because it's in our backyard here at the Salt Lake City. She allegedly got caught frauding a bunch of old people. I don't have any good conspiracies about that. I run in circles of people that claim to be in circles, and I'm not one to gossip. But there's a real, and I'm going to put a capital A and an asterisk on each side, allegedly. There's a real big allegedly that, and I could get this story wrong, the name's wrong, but allegedly, one of the girls, maybe Jen Shah, and another one of the girls, maybe Meredith, were apparently like doing some sexy time thing in a steakhouse. I don't know if there's truth behind that. If you follow this nonsense of Real Housewives, hit me on the socials and let me know if you heard of this. I don't know if it's true. I hear this stuff in passing from people, we'll say. Celebrity relationships off the chain. Kim K finally left Kanye's crazy ass for Pete Davidson. So in 1 year, he went from banging Kate Beckinsale to Kim Kardashian. Hey, man. Someone made a good meme joke about how Pete Davidson is basically Beetlejuice because he's got the eyes. Oh, dear. Travis Barker and Kourtney Kardashian hooked up. Machine Gun Kelly and Megan Fox hooked up. J-Lo and Ben Affleck hooked up. Jeff Bezos got himself a new little girl friend. I almost said little girl. That sounded creepy. Jeff Bezos got himself a new little girlfriend. And I don't know if you caught it. There was a video clip of her giving Leo DiCaprio some real F me eyes, if you know what I'm saying. And, you know, Leo curved her hard because he knows. Leo knows. He runs in circles with these folks. He knows what nerd anger combined with power and wealth can do. Make you disappear real quick. All I'm saying. A lot of allegedly, a lot of speculation, and a lot of theorizing. This is all my opinion, okay? Oh, Leo. We're going to talk about Leo here soon. My favorite actor, my number one actor, didn't disappoint in Don't Look Up. We're going to talk about Don't Look Up, and I'm gonna surprise you with Don't Look Up. I'm going to surprise you with what I say about it. So, and that's going to be my next show, I think, probably. Unless the Capitol gets insurrected again. I don't know. We'll see. Oh, boy. Very provocative. Let's talk about Betty White. Let's just get that out of the way. Betty White died. I had several people hit me up and say, bro, Illuminati sacrifice. And I thought, dude, she's 99. She might die. And I thought, why not? I'll give it a look. So here's what I, and this is a very brief look. I didn't read a autobiography or nothing like that. I feel like Betty Hanks is somewhere in the ballpark of Tom Hanks. It's really hard to believe it, right? And I feel like, granted, these are actors. Granted, it's Hollywood, the land of illusion. And maybe I'm being naive, but I feel like sometimes you can detect people's energy. I really do. I really feel like there's this energetic vibe, and our body has receiver transmitters, whatever you want to call that, reading the aura, whatever that is. I feel like sometimes you can pick up the energy, and, you know, I have a hard time with Betty White, you know? I also have a hard time with Tom Hanks, to be honest. I have a hard time believing that he's part of the Illuminate Confirmed Club. I could very well be wrong. I've never seen good evidence to prove it. I mean, I've heard about the Isaac Cappy. I did two shows on Isaac Cappy. I read about the gloves, the photos on the Instagram. It's a stretch, man. You guys are stretching. Like I talk about in the Matrix movie analysis, there's a difference between probable and possible. Sorry, I'm on this. I got a lot of indigestion. I'm on this new, you know, I was on a calorie surplus for 2 months, trying to build muscle, and in the process, getting a little fat. Now I'm on a calorie cut, and I'm eating lots of vegetables and fruits. And all that chewing creates air, and that air becomes belching, and I'm very sorry. It becomes indigestion. Oh, dear. Betty White. I thought, okay, let me humor this idea for a minute. I looked it up. Reddit actually had a funny comment. Someone proposed that maybe she ritualistically sacrificed herself just for a good 2022, which, hey, man, maybe anything's possible. I would like to think that. I had a real positive energy coming into 2021, and boy, was I wrong. I mean, I had a good 2021. I don't know about you, but I thought in my naive, the sheeple side of me was alive in 21. And I thought, you know, the thing from 2020 that will never go away, it's going to finally go away, hopefully. You know, all the truthers were saying that Joe Biden, once he got in office, this was going to disappear. But the truthers have been saying that since day one. You know, even Trump was saying, oh, in 2 weeks, it'll disappear. 2 weeks to flatten the curve, all this stuff. And I thought, right or wrong, true or false about this whole thing, hopefully this thing calms down in 21, but it didn't. We're going to actually address that in a little bit here. So hopefully 22 is different, right? I like to stay positive, stay optimistic. Now here's the basis of Betty White. It goes back to a show she did in 2017. This is the most damning evidence I could find. But like I always say, the truthers don't have a good sense of humor for this kind of stuff. And maybe rightfully so sometime, maybe. But in 2017, she did a show called Betty's Happy Hour where she was asked about her secrets of staying youthful. Because she seemed very alert in her 90s. That's good. And you know what her response was? She drank the blood of the Virgin every third Sunday. My God.
People always ask me, how I stay so youthful. I tell them I eat well. get plenty of rest, and every third Sunday, I drink the blood of a virgin. And these days, they're getting harder and harder to find.
She said, I eat well, get plenty of rest, and every third Sunday, I drink the blood of a virgin. All these days, they're getting harder and harder to find. So, of course, you know where that goes with the Q people. Because Q never misses a beat. They say immediately, oh my God, Adrenochrome. She's drinking Adrenochrome, folks. And I got to admit, you know, that's a pretty damning claim. That you're drinking the blood of a virgin every third Sunday? Or maybe she's joking. Probably just joking, but hey, maybe not. Maybe not. And the Q folks, they pile on. They say, well, you know, she died 17 days before her 100th birthday. Here we go with the gematria stuff. I already got in trouble for mocking it, I guess. Okay. She died 17 days before her birthday. Because, you know, 17 is a big number for the Q. It's the 17th letter of the alphabet. If you listen to my four shows I did on Q in the summer of 2020, to bolster my Nostradamus prophetic ideas. Back then, I was basically telling you how I thought Q was a psyop, and I think that's real. I still believe it. I think it's more obvious than ever that it's real. Caught a lot of flack. A lot of people don't like that. But you know what? We all got opinions here, so that's just how I see it. But they're like, oh, you know, 17 days before her birthday in January, she died. Well, she was also born on January 17th, if you want to play the 17 game. And of course, 17 goes to Q. And of course, if you listen to my four Q shows from summer of 2020, goes to Osiris. Right? So maybe the god Osiris took her out. It is interesting that she would say the third Sunday. That's the part of it that kind of stuck out in my head a little bit. Sunday, of course, a sacred day to Christians, obviously. Comes from the holy day of the sun god Apollo in the Roman Empire. Because all those days of the week come from pagan god worship, goddess worship, all that stuff. Like Monday is Moon Day, Saturday is Saturn Day, that kind of stuff. So that's like the big, condemnation of her. And what I'll do is when I research some of the stuff, like I'll usually try to read a book or something. I didn't want to invest that much into this, to be honest. I got bigger fish to fry. But I looked her up on Wikipedia. I know Wikipedia. And look, I'm no expert on Betty White. I've never even seen an episode of Golden Girls, okay? I've seen it in passing growing up. I've just never watched a full episode. Like, it's fine. I mean, I just don't like sitcoms that much. It's just not my thing. Here's what I found, and I found some interesting stuff, though. She was born January 17th, 2020. Oh, wait, 1922. I wrote 2022. That's not right. She was born January 17th, 1922. Died December 31st, 2021. A very curious date, right? Right before the end of the year. She didn't make it to 22. It's an odd day to die, you know? Whole world's partying. Unfortunately, some people are grieving. Apparently, she was going to be a forest ranger, but back then, they wouldn't let women in back in the 40s, I guess? See how sexism, it giveth and taketh sometimes, right? We wouldn't have Betty White acting if she was just going to be a lame-ass forest ranger. So it's not all bad. Sexism isn't all bad, is it? I'm just kidding. You know I'm kidding. You know I stay granola woke. Of course sexism bad. Of course it is. How dumb is that? How dumb is it to think Forest Ranger is a man's job? Right? You got to question all these social norms and these constructs. Same with the military, right? A lot of people get upset about women in the military. And it's like, dude, like, I know women that are way tougher than men. You know what I'm saying? You ever watch Naked and Afraid? Those women outperform the men, like, all the time. Anyway, so I make a joke and then I got to tap dance around it because I know half of you probably don't even know my humor. I have pretty dark humor. But I'm also, of course, joking. just to be crystal clear, all right? During World War II, she drove the PX truck to Beverly Hills for the Army, the post exchange, right? It's where you buy your overpriced goods for the AFE's mafia. If you've been in the military, you know what I'm talking about. The military's got this thing called AFE's, the, I don't even know what it stands for, Armed Forces something or the other. And I'll never forget. Like, I was in the military, right? If you don't know that. I was in the military, and there was, like, a fundraiser snack bar thing going on. And, like, they shut it down because it cuts into the AFE's mafia. The AFE's owns, they, and I don't know the breakdown of how this works, obviously. But if you cut into the AFE's thing, they say, oh, that disrupts our economic model. So you can't sell fundraiser snacks. We want the troops to buy the snacks from the vending machine, the AFE's vending machine. Okay. Anyway, she drove the truck for the PX, and apparently she was trying to get into the movies. They told her she wasn't, quote, photogenic enough. What the hell's wrong with men in early Hollywood? I'm sure they told her she was either too ugly or too fat. What's wrong with these guys? If you read Kenneth Anger's book, Hollywood Babylon, he points out all these disturbing stories from early days of Hollywood. So it's kind of ironic that the ones giving us the most woke-ass attitudes and telling us and shaming us and telling us how we need to do better, you know, case in point, Asia Argento started the Me Too movement. Here she is allegedly having sex with, like, an underage boy on the... I mean, I think he was 17, to be fair, but you know what I'm saying. It's like, it's always this... do as I say, not as I do. Hypocrite type stuff. Anyhow, they denied her the behind to get on the screen, so she looked into radio work. She created the show called Life with Elizabeth, and it was in the 1950s, one of the first shows to have a woman in control, right? And then, of course, lots and lots of stuff involved with entertainment, as you would expect. And I was shocked to read this one. This one blew my mind. This one, we're going to get personal here, so get ready. In July 1959, Betty White made her professional stage debut in a week-long production of the play Third Best Sport in Ephrata, Pennsylvania, which is exactly, when I say I'm from PA, I lived in a couple different areas, right? Lived in Allentown. Then we moved to Lancaster, and I moved in, and there, I lived in this little town called Ephrata, and nobody knows where it is. Ironically, I think it came up in my conversation with Robert Sullivan because he talked about the occult symbolism of the green dragon. And in Ephrata, that's like maybe the claim to fame is there's a farmer's market called the Green Dragon, and you can get all kinds of great stuff there, right? Good food. You can get lemonade. There's this Amish lady who makes this lemonade out of like real lemons, real sugar, real water. She makes it right in front of you. It's fire. And then you got Roseanne's pretzels, the best soft pretzel on the planet. I've talked about this on my Rockfin show. I did a whole truth or drama, me against the Amish. But I will tell you, they make some bomb-ass food. If you're ever in the armpit of PA called Ephrata, Pennsylvania, go to the Green Dragon. The armpit. You know, that's my hometown. But what's curious about my hometown of Ephrata is there's a place called the Ephrata Cloister. And the Ephrata Cloister was one of the early settlers in America, was this group of Rosicrucians out in Philly called Kepler's Cave. And one of the guys, Conrad Beisel, he left the group. They were like they thought doomsday was coming. They were hiding these caves. And he was like, y'all MFers are tweaking. And he headed to Ephrata and set up his own little Rosicrucian weirdo building called the Ephrata Cloister. Now, I didn't know this growing up. I didn't know the town was an occult haven of sorts. Anyhow, Betty White, she apparently got her start in the same little town that I basically grew up in. And I know what Playhouse used to, I mean, it's not a huge town, it's not a huge city. I know what, I used to hang out at the park where the Playhouse was. I've seen the Playhouse. I I never went into it. You know what I'm saying? So in that park, the playhouse is in a little corner, right? And growing up, I've seen all kinds of shit in that park where the playhouse is. I see fighting and drugs and arm wrestling. Remember arm wrestling this guy? Drama. Drama outside the building, specifically made for drama. Quite curious, right? The craziest thing I saw was, it was like a late night. I mean, it was dark, and it must have been summertime, I'm thinking. I don't, my memory's a little fuzzy, okay? But one of my friends was running his mouth to these two Russian guys, and they were going to fight, and me and a different friend were like, let's go watch the fight. So we go down there, and my friend was beating the brakes off of these two guys, which actually was surprising. I think I recall showing up like late and like pulling up and seeing him just like destroying these two guys, like, whoa, pretty violent, right? I remember the one guy literally crying for help, like crying out like make it stop or something. It wasn't anything serious, like no, like, I mean, it was pretty violent, right? And watching a fight, but it wasn't like he was hitting the head with a brick or something crazy. And they were fine. Like they parted ways or whatever. They were able to get in their car and leave or whatever. But it was funny because, as funny as that could be, right? I don't condone fighting, right? I'm a lover, not a fighter. I don't do fighting. Not my thing. But it was funny because I had previously boxed, like this same guy behind this bagel shop. We kind of like played boxing a little bit, like joking around. Like it wasn't serious. And I remember he had like really fast hands. I thought, man, this guy had fast hands. But I didn't know he had it in him to like whoop someone's ass like that. And I was just like, man, I'm not messing with this guy. This guy's tweaking. Anyway, they wouldn't let us loiter at this park, which I always thought was absurd. Like, we're a bunch of teenagers. Where are we supposed to hang out? You couldn't loiter at the park. Literally, that's what they had to sign that said that. To be fair, I guess they had a point, right? I don't think much good was going on there. Anyhow, Betty White, she did a ton of game shows. Mary Tyler Moore, Carol Burnett, all shows I don't know anything about. And of course, Golden Girls, which made her famous, I guess. I think she was already famous before that. But Betty White, she had woke levels on fleek, big into animal welfare. And it shared a story in 1954. She had a black tap dancer on her show, and she got a bunch of flack from it. And she was like, you're just going to have to live with it. That's the way that this show is going down. And this is 1954. Before Civil Rights Act even passed, she was down for the cause. So, you know, that's dope. She supported gay marriage, all the stuff, right? Woke levels on fleek. Now, the religion. This is where I thought, okay, let me see what I find out about her religion. That'll inform whether or not I can get behind this Illuminati blood sacrifice. Says she was a member of the Unity Church, which is part of the New Thought movement. They have this sort of attitude of more spiritual than religious, and that their true church is a state of consciousness, and you're supposed to emulate Jesus Christ. But their approach seems to be, it's more of a, you know, make this fit in your life the way that's good for you. There's no specific rigid dogma, which on the surface reading it, I'm like, that sounds pretty good. I don't know. But that's probably the most damning thing I could find from it. It said that the church was rooted in transcendentalist movement, which again ties into like occult new agey ideas. But like a lot of occult new agey ideas, they're not necessarily evil. They're more tools. It's like science. It's a tool. But according to some of the, you know, the hardcore Greek Orthodox or the Eastern Orthodox, like Father Seraphim Rose, he would say this is all ecumenicism. And this idea that, oh, I'm spiritual, I'm not religious. That's a watering down of the true faith of Jesus Christ. And that's what the devil wants. He wants to dilute something so much that it's non-existent. That's how the devil wins. You know? So apparently it's diluting the true Christian faith, Betty White's religion. Diluting the true Christian faith with all its rigid dogma. Something that I don't even subscribe to, which makes me sort of a heretic in some ways, according to my own religion. It ain't easy. It ain't easy trying to reconcile these competing thoughts I have in my head. But we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about Betty White. Final, you know what, Isaac? Final verdict. Was she Illuminate confirmed a ritual satanic sacrifice of 2022? No. No. That's a stretch. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Now, she made a funny joke that, funny to some, but some truthers have no sense of humor for that kind of stuff at all. So she probably just stepped on some toes with that joke. Could it be she was doing it? I mean, maybe. She did live to be damn near 100. But I don't think so. But what do I know? What do I know? Okay, let's move on. Let's keep it going with the wrap-up show. The best music of the year. Jedi Mind Tricks, one of my favorite rap groups of all time, released a new album. Vinny Paz, of course, on the lyrics. And then, of course, Stoop, the Enemy of Mankind, one of the greatest producers ever lived. Linked back up, because some of the previous Jedi Mind Tricks album, Stoop wasn't really on there. Brought Stoop back in, and the album was fire. It's got a few super great tracks on it. You should check it out. Drake dropped a new album. Kanye dropped a new album. Donda was trash. Apparently he's making a second one. It's going to be even trashier probably. But Drake's album was pretty good. I'm still listening to tracks off of that. Donda, I none of them are hitting for me. I don't like it. Dua Lipa, she's still killing it. I like Dua Lipa a lot. Waiting on a Rihanna album. We were supposed to get one. Never happened. I think she's done. I think she's making too much money off her panties. Making that panty money. You know what I'm saying? This is how a lot of rappers and singers and all that, you'll notice like they get into, there must not be any money in music. They'll get into music and then immediately figure out a way to flip it into something better. Acting or selling panties. Like 50 Cent, he's not rapping anymore, not really. If you like rap music, if you like, I made a Boner Jams playlist. My favorite songs of 2021, you can get on Spotify. My link will be in my show notes. I have an all my links page where you can easily see all my things. Because I got a lot of projects going on. But if you want to follow the last 3 years, I did Boner Jams, my favorite songs of each year. Check it out. It's 80% hip-hop. Most of it's crude. Some of it's mumble rap. I don't care. I like the energy. And then 20% of it is, what did I say? It was teenage cheerleader music. I like dance music. Wait, what can I say? I can't lie. Now, the best song of the year, I'm torn on this. It depends on my mood. I like Drake's Knife Talk because it's great. Because it's got Project Pat, 21 Savage, and Drake on it. I don't know which part's my favorite. I really don't. The beginning with Project Pat, that verse is so good. I wish he would have been back on for more. He said, stay alive in this bitch, y'all. Anyways, so good. I'm not going to embarrass myself rapping. At least not for this price. I will do it for the right price. But then I also like calling my phone. What's his name? TJ? Little TJ? In black with a 6 instead of a B. I don't know how you say his name, Black. And Call My Phone is a great song. And I don't like neither one of those artists that much. And it's kind of real R&B-ish, but I don't know. Like, both of those songs are really good. Also really like, honorable mention, Dua Lipa, Elton John. I think it's called Cold Heart. I like that track a lot, too. Favorite memes. I never talk favorite memes. They're both Trump-related, which, my Q people, I'll bring you back in the fold here. Your boy makes hella good memes. There's a meme of Trump, the one where he's like at his desk and Jesus Christ is behind him, like holding his shoulder, you know? They're holding hands. Someone did that with Charles Manson, which I thought was genius. And then the compilation mashup of him and Kamala Harris, where Kamala Harris is like, don't come. And he's, I'm going to come. You got to watch it. It's so fun. I'll probably put him on my Instagram. I'll try to find a way to get him on there. I don't know if I can do a video and a image on the same thing. I'll put something together for you. Something real nice. Best movie of the year. More trash movies. Again, we suffered with the movies this year. I can tell you Matrix 4 is definitely not the best movie of the year. That was the biggest disappointment of my entire life, I think. My second place I would put as Don't Look Up. I loved it. I thought it was great. I loved Don't Look Up. And you're going to hear all about it in my film analysis. But number one, a movie that actually surprised me that I didn't think I was going to like that much was Dune, the remake, or what do you call it? Reboot, remake, whatever that is, on HBO Max. Oh my God, it was so good. It was so good. I watched the original Dune, which was pretty good too. My boy, Dr. Anteater, that I was in the military with, I remember he tried to turn me on to Dune, the 80s one, when we were stationed in Korea. And I remember I probably tried it three times. He'd hit play, and then like within 30 minutes, I'm like, you know, I was like 20, 21 or whatever. It took a lot to make you fall asleep. But as an adult, I watched it, and I was like, dude, this is good. I want to read these books. But then I saw how many books there were, and I was like, I don't care that much. But Dune was my favorite movie. Some honorable mentions. Movies I watched that weren't from 21, but I want to comment on them. I watched What's Eating Gilbert Grape because everyone said, I got to watch it. It's got my boy Leo in it. It was good. He did a really bang-up job. You know, I choose to be PC with certain things and certain topics. I have a soft spot in my heart for mentally handicapped people. And in the most respectful way, he did a good job of portraying that, right? And if you've ever seen Tropic Thunder, there's a line from there. I'm not going to repeat it because I choose not to use certain words out of my vocabulary. Not because the blue hairs tell me to do it. But I don't use the R word or the N word, right? Out of respect. But there's a line in there that says, don't ever go full R word, right? And he kind of did, right? But like, man, he did an amazing job. I mean, that dude's talented. I say he's the best actor that ever walked, and I believe it. I mean, look how good he is. That's why Jeff Bezos' girlfriend wants to bang him. Hey, you know what? Anyway, Frankenstein. I'm going to stop gushing about Leo. He's just so great. I bought all the old Universal Monster movies. I watched Frankenstein for the first time all the way through. Then Bride of Frankenstein. So good. So good. And I've always been obsessed with Frankenstein and the Universal Monster since I was a little kid. In fact, if you're watching the video of this podcast right now, if you're on the supporter feeds and you get the video, I'm going to show you something. Stand by for 2 seconds. Here it comes. Don't go away now. I got these Remco Universal Monsters, right? I had these when I was a kid. Creature from the Black Lagoon, Phantom of the Opera, and Dracula, of course, with the cape. I got the cape dog. And Frankenstein, the OG of the bunch. And I used to have these when I was a kid. These are not the originals. I bought these on eBay as an adult. They're very expensive now. I think they're probably $30-$40 bucks a piece. But I'm a nerd. And when I was a kid, I used to play with them. And I remember I had a recurring nightmare multiple times of being inside this like Dracula castle and hiding behind a door because Frankenstein was coming in. And there's a bit where the Aquaman is on a jet ski. I don't know. Don't ask me how it all fits together, but I had that dream multiple times and it stuck with me. I don't know what it means. So I say all that to say this, Frankenstein's a good movie. Bride of Frankenstein, just as good. Some other good movies worth mentioning, Bliss on Amazon with Owen Wilson. That was really good. I did a show about that with Simulation Theory. Same goes for Tomorrow War. Again, a really good movie. Went straight to Amazon. Shout out Jeff Bezos. Hope your girlfriend doesn't bang Leo. unless you're down for that. But Amazon coming through with the heat, you know what I mean? Now, let's talk about personal memories. This is we've been getting real personal today. I hope you enjoy it. I'm letting my heart out. I'm letting my heart open. Open heart chakras. That's what I'm learning about. Some of my favorite things that happened this year. I started a podcast with my wife, Josie. Breaking Social Norms. Maybe you've heard of it. Maybe you hate it. Maybe you love it. It's a love or hate thing. I've tried to put a couple of the episodes on this feed just to sort of see if you were into it. Because we did a couple shows on Aleister Crowley that I thought were relevant to listeners of conspiracy theories and unpopular culture. A lot of people loved it. Some people hated it and told me how much they hated it. Okay, it's fair. I won't do it again. But yeah, back in February, I asked my people, I said, what show topic do you want? And the clear winner was people wanted me to interview my wife. And I did that on the Rockfin show. And I put the first episode on the conspiracies feed. And it was, I got such good feedback and bad, right? That I said, let's do a show together. She's always here. I'm always here. Why not? Because that's half the battle with me guesting on other shows or me getting guests on my shows. It's hard to find the time that I can commit. I have free time here and there. I'm just not able to pencil it in on a calendar and commit to it. That's the hard part. But I'm really proud of her. She was really hesitant on doing it. She's starting to hit her groove. The shows are getting much better. And we're sort of doing this weird blend of, and we do like long 2-hour shows generally. And it's this blend of me breaking down conspiracy topics to the basics, which the most recent show was symbolism. I'm explaining symbolism to the normies, to the sheeple, to my wife, who is a normie sheeple. And she really forces me to keep stripping it down. That's the beauty of the show. I'll say stuff and she's like, you gotta stop. I don't know what you're talking about, who these people are. And it forces me to slow it down. So that'll be half of the shows we talk conspiracy. Then the other half will be kind of fun stuff. We talk about favorite 80s movies or favorite holidays and holiday experiences and that kind of crap. But anyway, she's getting much better. The growth on that show has blown my mind. I can't believe how many people are listening. Like when it started out, I was like, oh, this is a dud. And in the last, 8 months, 9 months, huge, huge response. So shout out my people that are double dipping on my shows. Yeah, that was probably my favorite thing to happen. I got some big wins as far as truth or clout goes. Unfortunately, because of the Travis Scott thing, right? Unfortunately. Because as you know, hip-hop and Satanism and the occult have long been my thing. 10 years now going, been talking about this. And here we are staring down the barrel at all this satanic imagery and symbolism from the rappers. Even though the mainstream media insist on telling you, you're not seeing what you're seeing. That's literally what they're telling you. That thing you're looking at, that's not what you think it is. That's what they're saying. And then have to be like, oh, yeah, yeah. That's not what they said it is. That's not it. When are you going to wake up? It's my Bill Cooper voice. But yeah, look at all these other Lil Uzi Vert. At the same week, Travis Scott had a bunch of kids killed while he was pushing satanic symbolism. And you know my feelings on the whole thing. I don't know that Travis Scott was like, oh, here's Satan. Let me kill some people for you. I don't know that it's that level. I think there's some consequences to using this energy, though, right? Lil Uzi Vert dropped a thing called Demon High the same week. Playboi Carti's been pushing it. And, of course, Travis Scott, which is a real bummer because he's been doing a lot of actually good music lately. I'm not a big Travis Scott fan, but he's had some pretty hot features lately. I'm like, damn, man. It's too bad you're like right on the periphery of getting canceled because now I'm starting to get into it. Another big moment for me. I got to do Higher Side Chats twice in the one calendar year. That's unheard of. Greg's got a list. Greg, shout out Greg Carwood. That's unheard of. Twice in 1 year. So shout out Greg Carwood and my audience and stuff. People who listen to that show, thank you. I got on there twice in 1 year. That's a big deal to me. I've got, of course, I've got the, well, let's see here. I might need to shuffle around. Well, okay, let me hit this. Okay, so then, of course, I published Use Your Illusion 2, my second Alien book this year. Shout out to everyone who read it or listened to it on Audible. And this is actually my second biggest moment of the year. Might be my first. You know what? I take it back. This is probably my biggest achievement, right? You know, I got such love for Josie that the podcast, for her to join me on the podcast and for it to actually, like, for people to actually listen to it, that's a big deal to me. That's kind of a big deal. Right up next to it, one of the biggest moments of my life, I got on the Mount Crushmore. Now, what we're talking about is Tinfoil Hat Podcast, right? With Sam Tripoli, Johnny Woodard, XG, Mark Steves on the Booker, on the ones and twos. As you know, at the end of 2020, they did a show of their wrap-up show for 2020, and they listed off their favorite guests, their Mount Crushmore of 2020, and I made that list, and that was a huge deal. I was like, oh my God, dude, that's great. I love it. But then in October, they did a 500th episode special from Las Vegas. I was going to go. Things came up in my personal life. I couldn't make it. And this time, he let you vote. He let the listeners vote on who their top four guests were. And you voted me in, so thank you. That's huge. I'm going to get a tattoo to commemorate it. I want to, at least. I don't know if I'm going to. I want to get a tattoo to commemorate it. It's that big of a deal to me. But as you can see, I'm not too picky on my tattoos. So, hey, you know what? I got a problem. All right. But yeah, I made the Mount Crushmore. That was probably the biggest, we'll call that the biggest work related achievement. And I guess Josie's podcast is kind of, that's more personal to me. You know what I mean? That's like, we're letting people into our marriage. So in some ways, let into our personal life on a deeper note. So if you like this show, you're going to love Breaking Social Norms, because it's like 50% personal. And then CrossFit. I'm killing it at the CrossFit right now. You don't care about that. Hitting PRs. I got Fran done in less than 4 minutes. In 3 minutes and 51 seconds. The Airy Brothers, when I did their podcast, they asked me that right out the gate. What's your Fran time? Because that's a big deal in the CrossFit community. What's your Fran time? And I got it in 3:51, which is mind-blowing. Shout out to all my coaches. I got my nutrition dialed in. Nutrition's the key. I've been doing CrossFit for 5-6 years now, and it wasn't until I dialed in the nutrition in that I was able to get good gains and PRs and all this crazy stuff. I actually have a lot more on this topic, but you know how CrossFitters are. We can't stop talking about CrossFit, so I'm just going to shut up now and move on, because I know you don't care. Do you? If you care, hit me up on the socials. I'll tell you about my PRs. Now, my least favorite memories. We talked about this on Breaking Social Norms very shortly. I lost my nephew. My family is very private. I myself am not. I like talking about all the things. But I lost my nephew. Now, that really sucked. And we'll just leave it at that, right? It's a real bummer, right? There's a lot of depression in my family. Like, we all suffer from it. And like, when I do ad sponsors for like BetterHelp, like, I mean that. I go to therapy. I literally just went to therapy yesterday. So, because I don't want to do big pharma. I don't trust big pharma. I don't like the medicine, but like, you need medicine. You need to fix what's going on. Sometimes you got bad thoughts. You feel bad. It's a real thing, right? So that was easily the worst part of the year. A close second, I got sued. They sued your boy for a blog. And I basically had to delete all these blog posts. 10 years of work, I had to delete them. Add it to the list, right? And you guys know me. I'm like the most rational-minded conspiracy guy. I sat here and told you why Betty White wasn't an Illuminati sacrifice. And they want to ban me. This is what makes me want to red pill twice as hard. I get so mad. And you know my history, right? Started the blog in 2011. Things start taking off. 2015, or is it 2016? Google shadow bans me. So now I'm not on the front page anymore. I used to get 500,000 page views a month. I was killing it. And now it's down to like 20,000 a month. Because Google shadow banned me. When you piss off Google, I mean, I did write a whole book about how they're taking us to a transhuman hell, to be fair. So maybe I deserve it. They shadow banned me from the front page. YouTube straight up bans me off of their platform completely. And I'm going to do a whole show on that. If you don't know that story, I'm going to break it down for you on Rockfin. I'm going to do that whole show. Then in 2020, I did an 80-page, I call it a book, but that's a loose term. I did an 80-page research project on Stabby Jabbies because I knew when the thing from 2020 showed up, I was like, okay, well, we know where this is going. Let's really dig into it. Because before that, I didn't have much of a say in it. Like, I didn't really care. Like, even in my first book, I wrote about it and said, look, man, I don't really know. It's like, I don't know if it's good, bad. I'm kind of neutral on it. I'm not a doctor. I don't know. I know I have a general vibe going against Big Pharma and avoiding them where I can, but I also understand that they're needed sometimes. So I'm not like, get rid of Big Pharma. I'm just saying, like, I don't trust them entirely. And I had a lot of people that were wanting me to research the topic, so I did. And I made this like 80-page sort of booklet. I was going to publish it through Amazon. Amazon wouldn't let me publish it, which I'm actually okay with. Because we're in this odd predicament here. Should we talk about it? Let's talk about it, I guess. Because I've got a... You'll notice I've been very silent on this for the last several months, or year even. And for good reason. Because the conclusion from my book was that these Stabby Jabbies, overall, historically, kind of safe, kind of effective, not entirely. Like, they want to make you believe, like, oh, you're 100%... good to go, totally safe, totally effective. And I was like, well, not entirely. Like, the truth lies kind of between the two, which actually bears itself as the truth, because if you'll notice now, they're like, well, you need four Stabby Jabbies, and like, come on. Like, I'm not saying they don't work at all. They probably just don't work as good as they're advertising, right? They're not working as advertised. But here's the thing. I do not want to interfere with your health, your medicine, your life in any way whatsoever. I have no business there. I feel weird that ideas that I talk about might persuade people to take a certain course of action one way or the other. And the last thing on earth I want to do is be involved in a decision that affects you, your health, your family's health, that kind of thing. Especially, you know, if you get sick or injured from one path or the other, like, I want nothing to do with that. I'm not a doctor. I don't really have a dog in this fight. And it's like my conclusion was in that book. You kind of have to figure this out. I even gave, at the end of the book, I gave like a 2-page thing of, take this to a doctor that you trust and talk to them about them. Here's the questions and here's the most concernable ideas I had from the topic. Because I actually had one doctor I trusted very well. He ended up dying. I say they killed him. But I'm a conspiracy guy. And since then, I haven't found one that's like giving me the real warm and fuzzy. I've got one I see for hormone replacement therapy stuff, like thyroid and testosterone and all that. She's super woke, right? I like her stees. But yeah, I think it's between you and, like, don't listen to me. What do I know? Right? When it comes to health and medicine, with that kind of thing. All I know is my personal experience, right? Does that mean, you know, just because there's, is there suspicious stuff going on with all of this? Absolutely, man. You've got to be blind not to see the thing from 2020 that will never go away and how, like, it's mad suspicious, everything about it. But does that mean you shouldn't, or should take this thing? I mean, that's up to you. I really don't care. I don't care what you do. I have no judgment in it. I certainly don't know what you should do. I think everyone's got to take their risks and calculations on their personal life. I'm suspicious of all elements of health. It goes all the way back to the Rockefellers creating the AMA. You know, they shut down all those holistic type schools of thought. And look, to be perfectly honest, you know, I believe in a lot of, I got a grounding mat right here, right below my feet. That's kind of woo-woo-y. I have a grounding mat. But does that mean if I get, you know, if I get some nasty wound, I'm going to go put lavender oil on it? No. I'm going to go to the doctor. So, like, a lot of nuance there. I'm doing a lot of tab dancing here. I say all that to say this. I have no business in your health decisions, as you shouldn't have any in mine. As shouldn't Big Brother, right? Now, what was I talking about? I was crying about all the persecution of my life. I got banned off of Google, shadow banned from the front page of Google, which is effectively removed from Google. I got banned from YouTube, which ironically, I was able to start a new channel under a different name, even though they said I shouldn't. But I'm not doing it, right? I'm not doing it again. I don't want to build up an audience, because once you build up to a certain level, they're going to figure it out and kick me off again. Vimeo. I paid Vimeo for my videos. They banned me. And then the 2021, my website, the last thing I had left, effectively shut down by threat, kind of, right? They sued me over some images I had on there from one article, but that opened up this can of worms of, well, you know, I don't want to call it extortion, but that's what it felt like. I had to cut a check. That check had commas in it. You know what I'm saying? A single comma. I was making myself sound bigger than I am. But it's painful enough that I was like, yo, I don't make any money off this website. I'm taking all the articles down. I can't afford to have... I had thousands of articles. I had probably 1,000 articles on there. You think I can afford to take a hit like that on everything? Because the company that hit me, the law firm that did it, that's what they specialized in, is finding, you know, blogs who take images from the internet to talk about things, which should be like fair use argument. I got a lawyer. I had to pay a lawyer for all this. And, you know, I just followed his advice. Anyway, so they shut down the website. So all I got left is books and a podcast. How long do we have? You know what I'm saying? That's why I say you got to sign up for my email newsletter. It's free. That's really my last full connection. Like, you know, I pay every month for this email newsletter. And if you go to IlluminatiWatcher.com, go to the start here, you can read my sob story. And then there's a sign up for the email there. Sign up. And for that, you'll get a copy of my first book for free, a PDF of A Grand Unified Conspiracy Theory, where you can read all about my opinions from 2012 on the Stabby Jabbies, which isn't far off from how I feel about them today. Link in the show notes, as always. All right. Back to the year wrap-up. Guests from the year. I had some very good guests on. We had Paranoid American talking about NFTs. That was a popular show. Rob Sullivan, very popular show. Jason Alexander, Britney Spears' ex-husband. You know, he was part of that Free Britney movement. Of course, the great Sam Tripoli, Maurice Acocella, SMQ. We talked about the Wall Street bets and that big financial battle with like Robin Hood and all that. And of course, I don't think I'm missing any of them, but I might be missing a couple. But yeah, lots of great guests. In fact, I did conspiracy considerations this year where I let some of the people sort of get on stage. That was cool. Now, before we get into the top episodes, we're going to talk about my favorite episodes, because in some ways that's more important to me. So I've got a most interesting episode and a most fun episode. Kind of two different things. Most interesting show to me was the Hocus Pocus show, because I had some really good finds. So shout out Josie's sister for hounding me to do that one. I don't do all requests. I get a lot of requests. Literally, I get hundreds of requests. Watch this movie. Watch this 30-hour series. There's only 10 seasons of this show. Watch this. And I know I'm like saying that in a mocking fashion, but I appreciate it. Because I'll write them down generally, and then I'll kind of, you know, if the planets align right and it grabs my interest, I'm like, okay, let's do it. But it turned out Hocus Pocus was very fascinating, because I quite literally proved there's a satanic ritual, a real satanic ritual that they do in the movie. If you haven't heard the Hocus Pocus show, you really got to listen to it. The most fun, Shock Treatment, the sequel to Rocky Horror Picture Show. I did that show because A, the subject matter was very fun, and B, my man gave us a singing rendition at the end of the episode. What more could you ask for? It's great. Then I got a bunch more that were, these were all both in-depth and fascinating. These are kind of more honorable mentions. Did a bunch of 9/11 shows. Had a lot of great ideas in there. The House That Jack Built, a movie I made two parts on that was really good. I did six episodes on The Great Reset. Six episodes of Eyes Wide Shut. Both of those were super interesting. And then on Tinfoil Hat, I did an occult magic debate with Alex Kazemi, which was really cool. Which isn't really my podcast, but you know what I'm saying. And since we're at it, this doesn't count either, but going to LA was a big moment for me. I got to hang out with Sam and the boys in the studio. Me and Josie went out there. That was pretty cool for my 10th or maybe it was the 11th show I did there. I don't remember. That was really cool. I enjoyed that a lot. Least favorite episode of the year, ironically, Astral World. You know, if I could bring all them kids back to life, I would gladly send that one back. Didn't make me feel good talking about it. I don't like that. I don't like that energy. I don't want that. So that was my least favorite episode to do of the year. Squid Game, way too much of a chore. That show sucked. The first two episodes, fire. After that, dog shit. Hated it. Cosmic Sin, that was a painful movie to watch. The whole inauguration thing, that was painful for me. It's very divisive. I just felt awful to see this weird blend of conspiracy ideas and the violence behind it and this political divide. And, you know, was it the FBI? Was it conspiracy guys doing this? I just feel like it adds to this obsession. They want us to be obsessed with the political divide, you know? You know, I never liked Trump anyway, so I don't know if you've seen the photos of him and Robert Maxwell, Ghislaine Maxwell's father. You know, he calls all these women nasty women. Hillary's a nasty woman, she is, to be fair, I think. But then with Ghislaine, oh, I wish her well. Bro, what? I think they're all connected, right? Like, bro, she's grooming and abusing kids. What do you mean you wish her well? Like, the QAnon, they lose me so hard. They lose me so hard when they think that Trump's the guy who's going to save him. It's like, oh, he's just talking real quiet because he's waiting to arrest them all. Like, dude, it ain't happening. It never was going to happen. It ain't happening. Most drama of the year. Now we're getting into the biggest shows. Most drama of the year was, ironically, not even my show. I did Greg Carlwood's Higher Side Chats, the second one I did. And Zachary Hubbard, a huge name in the conspiracy world, Gematria guy, did a 45-minute show talking about how dumb I was. So I did a Rockfin Inside the Mind of a Conspiracy Theorist show, Truth or Drama, talking about it, right? Talking about defending my honor a little bit. He even made it sound like I didn't deserve to be on the Mount Crushmore. I said, my God. But what really offended me, the part that bothered me that made me actually do the show and respond to it, because I don't, you know, I'm not everyone's cup of tea, and that's fine. The thing that made me respond to it was he said he did more for the truther community than Bill Cooper or Jordan Maxwell. And I was like, dude, no way. I don't know your work that well, but, and he seems like an intelligent guy. And in fact, I said it on that show and I'll say it again. You know, if he wants to like come on my show and talk about it, I'd let that happen. Tell me about Gematria. Tell me how dumb I am and reveal the truth to me. There's a place for, there's a path to redemption for everyone, I think. And to be honest, like, I'm not that mad at him anymore. I did the show and it was very cathartic. I was a little offended. I felt a little bad. But, what was I saying? Yeah, anyway, that was a big to-do. Big drama. Biggest shows of the year. Let's count them down, right? First honorable mention. This one didn't quite make the cut because I published it in December of 2020. So it doesn't quite qualify, but I got 41,000 listens for the first Great Reset episode. So that's out of the way. Now, number 10. the inauguration show from 2021. We talked about it. 33,000 listens. Number nine, we talked about the Facebook shutdown conspiracy. That was 34,000. Number eight, Squid Game. And we've already talked about these things. I don't want to elaborate more on things you already know about. Number eight, Squid Game at 34,000. Number seven, the weekend Super Bowl at 35,000. The Super Bowl thing is usually a bigger numbers, but and the weekend had a lot of weird stuff. I talked about all those videos he had before the Super Bowl and how much occult symbolism he had. Number six, Astroworld Part 3. I did four parts. That was number three. Number three hit 35,000. Number five, 9/11. I believe it was, 9/11 Part 2. Hit 36,000. Number four, Bill Gates' divorce conspiracies hit 39,000. Everyone hates Bill Gates. Not a surprise there. Now we're in the top three. Astroworld Part 2, 41,000. Number two, 9/11, the Part 1, hit 42,000, right? 42,000 was the top number I had the year prior with my Kobe show when Kobe Bryant died. That one blew all the numbers out the water that year at 42,000. Well, that was my number two show this year, so the audience is increasing. So shout out. Thank you for listening. Thank you for leaving the reviews, too. I'm still reading them all. I told you I would read them all, and you guys left way more reviews than I was ready for. So thank you for the reviews on Apple. I'm going through them. It's taking me forever. Number one, and you already knew this. On my Instagram post about it, you already knew it. Astroworld Part 1, which ironically was my least favorite show to do because of the subject matter, blew these other shows out of the water. 60,000 listens. 60,000. That's huge. Beating Kobe. Beating 9/11 Part 1. You know, 42,000 was about the ceiling I had previously. 60,000 is the new ceiling. But, I mean, that was a pretty crazy event, right? So, you know, thanks for listening. Unfortunately, the subject matter is dead kids. Just like the S. Hook thing, right? You know, that's probably why Alex Jones got in trouble. Like, that's a lot of people that were looking up those terms back then. I know because I ran a blog and I watched my site statistics and I did talk about it here and there. And I always had like a real respectful manner about it. You know, Alex Jones talks in black and white language and I do not because I don't profess to know the answers. But yeah, those are big topics. But here's the kicker. The mainstream media, they know this too. You know, the term, if it bleeds, it leads, that's real talk. So you can see that this horrific thing that happened was good for me, which I hate that. I hate like the karmic energy, whatever you want to call it. I hate that. I don't want to be involved with that. But do you think the news feels that way? I don't think so. I think they see this kind of stuff and like, you know, maybe, maybe not. Maybe I'm being too hard on them. What do you think? Okay, predictions from 2020. I made predictions back in 2020 of what 2021 would bring. Let's go through them. You'll recall I was very optimistic. At the time, I had watched Hunger Games, and it told me hope wins over fear. And I was hopeful. I was hopeful that the stabbies would protect the old people, the numbers would come down, and they'd let us all alone. And that didn't happen. Here we are. Doing just exactly what the plans all wanted to do this whole time. And the question is it justifiable or not? I don't know. I'm not a medical expert. This is not medical advice. I don't know. I already tap danced around this topic earlier. But yeah, I kind of was more optimistic than I should have been. I was wrong. The results of that prediction, wrong. I even did some international travel last summer. I went to, our friends got married in Costa Rica. I went to Costa Rica during a pandemic. And they gave me the brain scraper test. Oh, that sucked. I hated it. Anyway. So the results of that prediction, wrong. I predicted cryptos would be making big moves, and they did. You know, that's not really going out on a ledge, is it? Speaking of which, shout out Copy My Crypto. That's our new sponsor. Help me figure out what cryptos to invest in. I said Billie Eilish would play a bigger role and maybe in politics. But I would say overall, she's been kind of quiet. So I think I give myself wrong. I'm hard on myself, but I'm wrong. But she was talking bad about porn. She said about how she saw porn at 11 and like how terrible it was and traumatic and all that. Like, oh, stop. I'm a very, when it comes to social things, I'm very libertarian. Like I acknowledge alcohol is really bad. It literally wrecks people's lives. People I know. And I'm like, so what? Like, because some people can't handle it, none of us can enjoy it? Same argument goes for marijuana. Which I think that's a whole different can of worms. But it's like, what? So some people can't handle it, none of us can? And the same argument goes for porn. You don't like it, don't watch it. Now, that's not to say there's not bad things that come with the work environments for all these things, right? Anyhow. Ghislaine Maxwell, I talked about her. Obviously, she was going to be in the news, too. Surprisingly, the mainstream media was throwing a decent amount of coverage at it. A lot of people said they weren't going to, and I thought they did a fair amount. So that one's a mixed result. So far, I'm not doing too good. I'm like 0 for 2, 0 for 3, kind of. 0.5 for 3. They're going to build up the case for the boogeyman. That's what I said was going to happen in 21. True, right? They're making some kind of Pentagon UFO task force as we speak. So just like I'm saying, it's a slow, soft disclosure. 5 to 10 years. They weren't going to do it all in 21. Slow and soft. Nobody wants a slow and soft. Come on, just give it to us. I made a prediction back in 2018. Let's not gloss over this one, okay? This was probably another big moment for me. Back in 2018, and I posted this tweet, and I'll never let it die. I suggested that Drake's going to be bigger than Michael Jackson. He's going to be the new king of pop. And sure enough, September 2021, Billboard, as well as a bunch of other outlets in music, rap, TV, all these others, said that Drake is bigger than Michael Jackson at his peak. Me. So I was right. And I stand by that. And look, I don't even like Drake that much. And I think he does weird stuff. Like, you ever seen these talk about how he's tweeting these young girls? I think he's creepy, man. But you can't deny his music. I like his music. Like, none of it's like the greatest music I've ever heard. I don't like listen to every album. But if you're talking about someone that can hit R&B, pop, and rap, and consistent, talk about consistency. This guy's got more top 10 hits than anyone, I think. I'm just saying, you got to give it up to him where you can. And I talk bad about Drake because he's got all the owl symbolism, Bohemian Grove symbolism. But I like to separate the art from the artist. Because you know what? We're not all perfect. We all fall short of the glory of God, I say. Now, finally, wrap it up, Isaac. We got things to do. We got movies to talk about. Predictions for 22. My biggest, my number one. Now, these are all more vague than I want them to be, but the nerds are going to kill us. I've said it before. I sold t-shirts with it on the back. Got a couple left. I think they're size medium, though. Yeah, they're going to ramp up their desire for killing us. The sheeple don't see it yet. They don't see it coming yet. We do, though. Alexa's telling kids to put pennies in sockets, which I actually did when I was a kid, by the way. I remember putting a paperclip in a socket very clearly at my grandmother's house. I could still feel the fuzzy feeling I felt from it. It's probably why I'm so stupid. Jeff Bezos has been saying the aliens are coming. Jeff Bezos is going to the moon. Musk is going to Mars. Tesla's coming out with a phone connected to Neuralink, right? The Neuralink brain cap. That's the transhuman matrix. We're going in. We're not. I'm not. Well, I don't think I am. I always say I'm a bad truther and I mean it. I can't promise you I won't be in the matrix. If they make it enticing enough, I might. But yeah, the nerds are going to kill us. They're going to step it up. That one's a little vague. Aliens are definitely still going to be in the news. Again, kind of vague, kind of lame, but I got to say it, right? In fact, there's an idea that I'm really intrigued by. Nick Hinton tweeted about it. there's an idea that the virus from 2020 that will never go away came from aliens, came from space. I can't stop thinking about it. Could that be it? Yeah, it's all part of this new normal, the Great Reset. Could it be? That's what they want. Remember when back when they told us Trump was the chaos candidate? I did a whole show on that. And was he or was he? They said that before he got elected. All these, I did a whole show talking about the symbolism of the chaos and how he was the chaos candidate. They told us that. And was it or was it not the four most chaotic years in history? Whether that was manufactured or not, I don't know. I'm just saying it turned out to be true. So the idea that they are architecting and creating this new reality, I mean, I'm not here to defend that. That's not what's happening here. Finally, more Satanism. They really showed their hand by defending Travis Scott's symbolism and trying to tell you that you're not seeing what you're seeing. There was a lot of Satanism last year, and there's going to be even more next year. Lil Nas X was twerking on Satan. Remember that? He sold shoes with blood in them and pentagrams and all that crap. Travis Scott, obviously, we talked about a million times. Lil Uzi Vert. His name is Lucifer, right? Got the diamond in his head. The diamond, which ties into the Maitreya. The gem of Lucifer falling from the crown. Marilyn Manson hanging out with Kanye. The Weeknd had all the elevator stuff from the videos, which almost got me on TV, by the way. I don't know if I told you this. There was a very big show. It was a very big show that was going to get me on to talk about that, and it fell through, unfortunately. I need to get my break. When am I going to get my break? I'm going to put it into the universe. I got to get on the TV so I can quit the dreaded day job. Dreaded day job's bumming me out, man. Anderson .Paak got a tattoo saying that if he dies that they cannot release his music. Bro, what's going on in the rap industry? What's going on in hip hop? Satanism, that's what. And we're going to see more of it in 2022. Right? So there you go. It's going to be nerds, aliens, and Satanism in 2022. That's the theme. Now, look, that's very vague. So in some ways, like, those are pretty shitty predictions. I'll give you that. Those are just kind of vibes. I don't have any specific. I'm not going to be like, oh, Lil Uzi Vert's going to come out and be a member of the Church of Satan or whatever. Maybe he is. Actually, that's probably a good one. Maybe we'll throw that in the mix too, right? But yeah, that's what I think is coming down the pike. And finally, it's over. Let's quit it. Let's put 2021 behind us and move on. My sign-off phrase, I've been saying stay woke for years, and, you know, there's a lot of argument in my own mind. No one's ever said anything to me about this, by the way. This is all internal, you know, the voices in my head. I think, man, you know what sucks is the term woke changed definitions almost. Now it's part of this weird cancel culture nonsense stuff, right? But that's not what I wanted it to be, especially, and that's not what it was when I first started saying it. So I thought, I gotta come up with a new sign off because it's too confusing. People probably listen and say, what is this, NPR? But I decided, you know what, I'm keeping it. F you guys. If you don't like it, F off. No, I'm just kidding. I'm keeping it. I actually had a discussion on the term based on Twitter, I think it was. And someone said that's what Stay Woke originally meant, based, meaning keeping it real to the knowledge that you became awake from. It's keeping it 100. But I can't sign off saying keep it 100. I mean, I guess I could. I like Stay Woke better. So I'm keeping it. I don't care. You know what it means. I know what it means. Let's hold hands and go into 2022 together. Thanks for listening. Thank you for listening to the show. Thank you for listening to this particular episode. I know I ranted and raved and got off into personal realms. I don't typically do that here. But I appreciate your listenership. If you like the show, You know how to support it. I talk about it all the time. In fact, for the next couple weeks, you can get in real cheap. I've got three platforms, right? I got the Rockfin, the Patreon, and the VIP section. That's on IlluminatiWatcher.com. I control the pricing and all the crap on IlluminatiWatcher.com. Like the fees and all that stuff. So I made a coupon code for you. IlluminatiWatcher.com. Go there. Hit the VIP section thing at the top. I got a link in the show notes. Takes you to the member section. And it compares the three different platforms and what you get on each. Never mind all that. All you got to do, if you want to get ad-free shows, bonus content, limited time offer, January 31st, this goes away for $2. I'll give it to you for $2. For tier one, you get a free copy of The Dark Path. You get a free copy of Kubrick's Code. You get all the shows ad-free. You get every single episode I've ever done ad-free, which you don't find on the other ones because I didn't only started them like in 2018 and 2020 respectively, right? Patreon and Rockfin. But on IlluminatiWatcher.com VIP section, I uploaded every single episode I ever did, so you get them all ad-free. You get every bonus episode I ever did, those two books, and you'll get it for $2, for 22. All these twos make you go mad. $2, and because I love two so much, you get the $2 access for 2 months. Then it goes up to $5. Cancel it if you don't like it. You're going to love it, though. I'm telling you, you're going to like it. You'll never go back. No more ads. No commercials, no mercy. So, yeah, go sign up for that. Also, I got a new t-shirt, a ringer, a 70s ringer t-shirt. I thirst trapped it on my Instagram. Check it out. Link in the show notes for Isaac Weishaupt on Instagram. And if you're on the Patreon or VIP, use your 10% off discount code. So there you go. You'll get that $2 back immediately. Use that 10% discount code. Go to gumroad.com/IsaacW. Get your new Conspiracy Theories 70s ringer shirts. They're beautiful. Okay. Thanks for listening. Until next time, stay woke.